Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure to introduce to you the four exciting personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And we welcome back four who played it with great skill in the past. It is Wendy Richard, Peter Jones, Paul Merton, and Richard Murdoch. Will you please welcome all four of them? The creator of this delightful game is Ian Messiter, and he usually sits beside me to keep the score and also blow his whistle when the 60 seconds are up. Unfortunately, he can't be with us this week, so I am fortunate in having with me our producers, charming secretary Anne Ling. And as usual, I will ask our four panellists if they can speak on the subject that I will give them without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. And we'll begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject, defrosting the fridge. Will you tell us your experiences, if you can, in just a minute, starting now?
Defrosting the fridge is a very tricky operation indeed and should really only be carried out by fully trained experts. Because the dangers are these. You could defrost the fridge overnight, for example, and wake up to find your entire house flooded and little ice cubes floating around and the odd fish finger poking its head out of the bathroom door. So when you do defrost the fridge, what you must do is get a washing up bowl, place it underneath the ice tray so that the water from
Peter Jones has challenged.
I can't allow him to go on giving out this misinformation.
So what
you
is...
You take the ice cubes out of the fridge, obviously, before you start defrosting it, don't you? Otherwise, I mean, I don't know what kind of house he's got, but the idea of fish heads or whatever they are floating out of the kitchen, upstairs, into the bathroom, the mind boggles.
Well, I think you...
I live in a flat and it's all on one level.
Well, that could be so, but I think he's made out such...
Well, it is so. I remember the mortgage. I'm there virtually every night.
Yeah. And you don't need an expert to defrost your fridge, you know. Well, anymore, perhaps you employ an expert to change your light bulbs.
All I'm going to say, Paul, is that Peter's made out such a good case for his challenge, I'm going to award it to him and say he has a correct challenge, so he gets a point for that and takes over the subject of defrosting the fridge, and there are 30 seconds left, starting now.
The best user-friendly fridges have their own mechanism for defrosting themselves, and I can put you in touch with a dealer with whom I have a very happy relationship, and I can get about 10% discount.
Paul Merton has challenged you.
It's not a challenge. I just like to know the name of this dealer. Because I have enormous problems with fish fingers poking the head out of the bathroom.
I think the audience applause indicates that Paul Merton should get a bonus point for the challenge, but we leave the subject with Peter Jones, who gets a point, of course, for being interrupted, and he continues with defrosting the fridge. 17 seconds left, starting now.
A bowl of warm water, if you don't have a great deal of time to defrost your fridge, will aid it and speed up the process. Otherwise, if you can go away for the weekend and leave it and put a bowl underneath at the very bottom...
Brenda Richard challenge.
Bowl twice.
Yes, a bowl. A couple of bowls.
Are you two working together by any chance?
No, he said bowl.
Wendy said bowl, and you said bowl, and you didn't challenge Richard, but it was very nice to hear from you in this game.
You must have just beaten me to the buzzer.
Yes, sir. So, Wendy, Richard, you got in first. Your light came on first, so that was the split second ahead of Richard's. You take the subject of defrosting the fridge with 4 seconds left, starting now.
I used to loathe having to defrost the fridge. I found it one of the most...
Well, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains that extra point, and it was on this occasion Wendy Richard. She's equal in the lead with Peter Jones at the end of the first round, and Richard Murdoch, we would like you to take the second round. The subject is getting confused. Will you tell us something about that, Richard?
Well,
I don't know why the audience are laughing. as I'm sure it's something with which you are could never be accused, Richard, except just recently, but in just a minute. Anyway, tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Well, as I said, it's ridiculous to ask me a thing like that, because, perhaps I did a little bit last week. I went into Dickens and Jones, or was it Harvey Nichols, I forget which, and I said, I want a dozen oysters, please. And the girl said, I'm sorry, we don't serve those. So I said, well, what do you sell? She said, women's things, mostly. I said, all right, I'll have a dozen of those. Now, you may think that I was just getting confused, but I wasn't. I was just doing my normal day's routine shopping. I was really, those bivalves, or whatever you call them, those shellfish things, have a very good effect. And I was going to buy a see-through nighty.
Wendy, Richard, challenged.
I was fascinated. I mean, there were several, but there was something else you said twice as well. I'm sorry, Richard. I was so fascinated by the story.
Well, unless you can tell me what it was, Wendy, I can't give you two.
All right, then. Go on, Richard.
So what actually happens in a situation like that is that because you've interrupted him, Richard does get a point for that interruption.
Right. I don't know
how you could buzz him on that when he said he'd bought a see-through nightie. We must hear what happened.
We're going to.
Well, it was not forbidden.
Wait a minute. Keep it, Richard, because there's 20 seconds left on the subject, getting confused, starting now.
Well, I'm getting so confused that I'm not quite sure what I'm talking about. But he said that he objected to me saying that I'd bought a see-through nightie.
It wasn't
for myself. It was for my wife, of course. And she looked absolutely splendid in it. And why not? And that's all I've got to say on the subject of getting confused, because I am actually getting confused.
Also, Richard, you managed to confuse them because you did repeat see-through 90 more than once. But they didn't challenge you for it because they've got them confused. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin the subject, pears. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
We had 7 pears in our garden once, and unfortunately they perished on firework night about 12 years ago when somebody lit a bonfire, and we were terribly disappointed because it was the first time any fruit had appeared on this growth in the back of our house. And we were all very disappointed because we'd looked forward...
Wendy, Richard has challenged.
There was hesitation and repetition.
And everything, yeah. But it's the image he creates. I mean, he's got 7 pears on his tree and he waits till November... And the frosts are coming in this country.
Before
he bothers to go out and pick them and eat them. So some idiot lights a bonfire under them. No wonder you lost your 7 pears.
You're not very sympathetic.
He hit the bonfire because he likes stewed pears.
Wendy had a correct challenge, and she takes over the subject of pears with 39 seconds to go, starting now.
Pears are one of my favourite things to eat. I also like that fruit which is a cross between a pear and an apple. I have called them prapples because I find they're very tasty and exciting to the palate. I also have some good recipes for pears. One is pears in red wine, and you just peel your pears, cut them in half, stick them in a dish, pour the liquid over them with some brown sugar and stick them in the oven and forget about them for a while. Quite delicious.
Paul Merton challenged.
I was writing this recipe down. Now, do we actually turn the oven on? Because if you just put them in the oven, forget about them for a while, somehow that won't quite do it, will it?
I agree with you, Paul. If you don't turn the oven on, they would not be delicious, so that is deviation. They will be uncooked. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge and 10 seconds on pears, starting now.
You might just leave them to soak.
Pears are a wonderful fruit indeed. I once...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A hesitation.
Why? I mean, where?
Well, he sort of mumbled.
I don't think you don't know. There's been more...
Well, you're not as close to him as I am.
We have been living together for several years.
Chance is a fine thing.
I don't know what that means or why the audience are laughing. I disagree with the challenge, I'm afraid, Peter. So Paul Merton keeps the subject, and there are 5
Definitely
seconds left.
Not living together in that case.
Paul Merton, you have 5 seconds on pears, starting now.
I remember one year we had 7 pears in our garden and we lit a bonfire, unfortunately, and...
I'm now waiting for the occasion when Paul Merton takes over a subject and completely repeats what everybody said for a whole minute and see if he can get everything right again. Paul, you move forward. You're in second place behind Wendy Richard, and then comes Richard Murdoch and then Peter Jones. And, Paul, your turn to begin. The subject is cockroach races. I don't know whether you know anything about it, but can you talk on the subject in this game starting now?
Cockroach races were very popular around the turn of the century when racehorses were very rare. So you would see the jockey saddling up a cockroach at the beginning of Tattenham Corner, preparing to go round to win the...
Wendy Richard has challenged.
He hesitated.
Yeah, there was an error there, definitely.
Apart from that, that was absolutely ludicrous. If you put a cockroach down on the grass, you wouldn't see it. You're supposed to do it on...
You haven't seen some of the cockroaches I've seen. You would see them all right. 47 seconds are left for you, Wendy, on cockroach races starting now.
A friend of ours had just left our local Indian restaurant with a takeaway, and someone else made the comment, "Oh, I see you've got your dinner then," and there was a cockroach racing right up his shirt front. Well, that was enough to put everybody off. We didn't go there again. But I certainly do not believe that there actually were such things as cockroach races. I have heard of...
Paul Merton challenged...
It's a deviation. There are such things as cockroach races.
Well, we don't know, do we?
But no, I've seen photographs of them. And what you have like a track, and you have a sort of start and finish, and the cockroaches are let out of little boxes, and there's sugar at the end here, and it's whatever cockroach gets the sugar first is the winner.
Yeah, I believe that is certainly it's possible. So
but
therefore,
it's a very crooked business racing them,
especially if you saddle them up, as Paul described.
Well, no, you see, you can't give a cockroach a saliva test without a lot of difficulty, and many of them are drugged. slow them up or...
Paul, I agree with your challenge. 27 seconds for you on cockroach races starting now.
And the principal reason that people enjoy cockroach races is that they can hold these particular races in their own living room or kitchen. For example, your starting line might be in the place you cook your food, and the finishing line might be somewhere in the bedroom. So there's the...
Wendy Richard.
Twice.
See, the starting line and finishing line.
Yes.
Very difficult to describe such a thing. Without doing that, and 10 seconds left for Wendy, having taken over the subject, cockroach races starting now.
I remember when I was in Beirut in 1974, going round the gold souk, and as I was going up the stairs to a particular merchant of this...
So, Wendy not only got the point for speaking as the whistle went, but other points in that round, so she has increased her lead. And Richard Murdoch, will you take the next round? The subject, briefs. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute? We've heard about the see-through underwear, but we're now on the male side, I think. Briefs starting now.
Well, briefs are either something that can be worn or something that barristers rather like to receive. They're usually a sheaf of papers tied up with pink ribbon, and they're delighted to get them because they know that it'll bring in some money, either to defend or to prosecute. Take, for instance, that wonderful chap, Rumpole of the Bailey. He is very fond of getting these briefs because he knows that he has a very good chance of getting a murderer off for some terrible crime that he's committed. And I'm very fond of looking at these courtroom dramas because it is most exciting and wonderfully dramatic, and great theatre or even films or even television.
And Paul Merton challenged.
Two or evens?
Yes, or evens, yes. Paul Merton's got 11 seconds, and briefs as a subject starting now.
Briefs are a recent invention. There used to be such things as long johns or cami knickers.
Richard Murdoch, challenge.
He said there used to be such things as long johns, and there still are.
Yes, but he's not technically deviating by saying there used to be, because there used to be, there might still be as well. But he was still correct in saying there used to be.
Oh, well, all right.
He was speaking of them as though they were in the past.
He may have been speaking
and
as they were,
but... they exist, and I think Richard could prove it right now.
But I was going to go on to say that now there are...
Doesn't matter what you were going on to say, you were not technically deviating, sir, because the statement you made was perfectly correct, Paul. So you keep the subject with another point, of course. 5 seconds are left on briefs, starting now.
And now there are such things as briefs to add to the catalogue of underwear that you can purchase for yourself...
So let me give you the score at the end of that round. Paul Merton getting one for speaking as the whistle went and others in the round has moved forward. He's still 1 point behind our leader, Wendy Richard. Peter Jones, your turn to begin the subject, cobblers. So it's cobblers for you, Peter. And would you talk about cobblers in just a minute, starting now?
Well, in America, it's a very favourite dish for dessert. There's apple cobbler and plum cobbler, strawberry cobbler. I could go through all the fruits, I suppose, but it would be rather boring, which it probably will be anyway. Cobblers in England mean people who repair shoes, or even make them, I believe. There was a cobbler in the famous ballet The Red Shoes who played a prominent role.
Richard Murdoch,
Charles.
Yes, did he say shoe or shoes the first time? Yes, he did say shoes. It was in the plural. Sorry, Peter. Yeah, men's shoes, that's right. I have to do a sort of quick mental recall to make sure that the challenge is correct, you see. Richard, you have a point. The subject, cobblers, and there are 37 seconds left, starting now.
Cobblers are the men who do men's shoes. They put leather on the bottom. They bang it in with little tacks. And it's awfully interesting to watch them do it, because some of these cobblers are so clever at it that it is fascinating, and I've never really seen a man hit his thumb when he was trying to put a tack into the...
Wendy Richard got in there.
Bits and tacks.
Yes. But no, actually, he said tacks before, and it was tack then.
Yes.
I beg your pardon, Richard. So I should be more attentive in future.
Well,
you couldn't be more attentive. You're way out in the lead there. You're very shoving.
He did hesitate earlier on.
But you didn't have him for hesitation, Peter.
No, I know, but if you run it back in your mind, as I know you do, you'll probably come across one of these hesitations.
I did, but that wasn't the challenge. I came across all of them, Peter.
Oh, I see.
Richard Murdoch has another point because it was an incorrect challenge, and he still has cobblers, and he still has 12 seconds starting now.
I'm rather sorry that I've got to continue with this subject because I was really completely drying up on the whole thing. There was very little that I could have added.
So, Peter Jones, challenge you.
Well, I interpret that as a cry for help.
Extraordinarily shrewd of you, Peter.
Yes. I challenge on deviation.
Why?
Because he's talking about the difficulty of talking about it, and he isn't talking about it.
Right. Well challenged, Peter. Another point to you, and 2 seconds on cobblers starting now.
Cobblers' awls, of course, are the things everybody's wanted to talk about.
So, Peter Jones got a point for speaking as the whistle went, and he is still in fourth place, but the scores are very equal now. Wendy's still in the lead, then Paul Merton, then Richard Murdoch, then Peter Jones and Paul Merton, your turn to begin the subject, stick. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
This is a word which can mean several things. For example, a stick can come from a tree, or stick can be something you do when you adhere one surface to another. For example, a piece of leather to another... piece of leather.
Wendy Richard started. Your challenge first, Wendy.
I think he was getting a bit desperate there. I mean, we had some bits of leather, didn't we?
Yes. So that's your challenge, is it?
Yes, and there was a hesitation.
Well, which are you going for?
Both.
You're being canny. No, he did have... your first one was repetition, which is correct. So, 46 seconds are left for you to tell us something about stick, starting now.
I have a piece of stick in my pet cockatiel's cage. His name is Little Henry, by the way. And he sits on this stick.
Peter Jones had challenged.
By her own admission, it was deviation because she said it was by the way.
Yes, but I was going to... I've got to tell you where the stick is in my house, haven't I? And who's sitting on it?
Well...
I don't get matters. She just threw it in as a sort of aside. Little Henry's
I'm trying to paint
this.
A nice little visual picture because this is radio, you see.
Yeah, then I know it's radio, yeah.
They can get a nice picture of little Henry sitting on his stick.
Well, I didn't hear what little Henry was. You did say it, I think. But
cockatiel.
Cockatiel.
Yes, right. Yes. Pete, I disagree with the challenge because it was just an aside which had really wasn't deviation. And so Wendy keeps the subject of stick starting now.
And he eats all the bark off this stick. In fact, he's been through several sticks since we've bought him, which is just over a year ago now. Well, 18 months, actually. But you have to be very careful what sort of sticks you put in...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
You don't think that's deviation?
What?
Well, worrying about whether it's 12 months or 18 months that she's bought a stick. And, I mean, it's not really talking about sticks as such.
I think the fact that she went off so long about the amount of time that she spent on it was slightly deviating from the subject of stick. So I will give you the benefit of the doubt, Peter, and give you the subject to the point, of course, 29 seconds on stick starting now.
Well, I don't have very much to say about stick myself. I don't know why they've chosen that particular word in the singular either, you know. Sticks would be a different thing. Over the sticks is a sort of race.
Paul Merton challenged.
Repetition of sticks.
Yes, you see, you took sticks and went over the sticks.
Oh, yes.
I mean, she's not on the card, it's stick. You could have had a stick insect. You could have had something that sticks together. You have something, you know, friends. So, Paul Merton, you got in with a correct challenge. Another point to you and 20 seconds on stick starting now.
A stick is a useful thing if you want to train a lion. If you want this particular animal to sit on a chair, then it's good to wave a stick in its face, or indeed a whip as well. You could wave a chair...
And Wendy Richard challenged. Yes, you wave too much, I'm afraid, Paul. And Wendy got in
I
another...
I think that's very dangerous advice to give on the radio. Children... children may be listening. They may attempt to get their lion to sit on a chair. Dreadful results. It's very irresponsible of you, Paul. I'm surprised. Let alone cruelty to animals. I mean, they'll be after us next.
Well, I'm not very good at giving advice, whether it's defrosting fridges or training lions. Okay?
I know.
We're going to have a whole lot of letters in the RSPCA saying about whips to lions and so forth, but still, it was all to try to keep going in just a minute, and Wendy got in with a correct challenge. She's increased her lead in 6 seconds for her to tell us something about sticks starting now.
The way to stop...
And Paul Merton got back in.
I was going to say something brilliant.
A total breakdown
then.
In human communication.
Something really brilliant to say.
I know, it is frustrating, but that's what the game is all about. The pressure they put on each other in order to make them dry up or make mistakes. Paul, you achieved it with 4 seconds to go on stick starting now.
A stick is very much like a...
Wendy Richard.
Far too slow.
There's nothing in the rules
that
says you...
He's drawing it out on purpose.
Yeah, definitely he was drawing it out on purpose, but it's only when he goes so slowly that it could be interpreted as hesitation that I would have to allow it. If you think there's a benefit of the doubt, then it goes to Paul on this occasion with 1 second on stick, starting now.
Stick is another...
Well, the situation doesn't change much, but they're all fairly close. And what has happened now is that after all the points that Paul Merton got in that round, he's equal in the lead with Wendy Richard. And trailing is Richard Murdoch and Peter Jones, only a few points behind. We are now into the last round, and Richard Murdoch, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is secret thoughts. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I don't really want to tell you about my secret thoughts, because they're dead secret, and I mean, it would be quite ridiculous to tell anybody what my secret thoughts are. They just stay in my head, and that's where they will remain, and so I am not going to tell you any...
And Paul Merton challenged.
Free tell-yous.
You did say tell-you.
Yes, I did.
We don't actually have to say... Give us your secret thoughts. You can talk on the subject of secret thoughts.
Yes.
So that's the reason for the subject being on the card.
Yes.
And so Paul Merton got a correct challenge, and he has a point for that. He's taken one ahead of Wendy in the lead, and there are 41 seconds left. Secret thoughts, Paul, starting now.
Secret thoughts, by definition, are, of course, secret.
And Richard Murdoch challenged.
I'm not quite sure why, actually. I rather wish I hadn't. I think I was getting a little bit trigger
happy. That subject you had before about being confused.
Yes, forget it.
Well, we can't, unfortunately, Richard, because if you challenge and interrupt someone's flow, then they get a point for being interrupted because it was an incorrect challenge. And 38 seconds with Paul Merton on Secret Thoughts, starting now.
For example, I may have some secret thoughts about Nicholas Parsons, but I certainly wouldn't share them with the rest of you. For example, might suggest...
Wendy, Richard.
Two examples.
For example, yes. For example, your thoughts about me. And for example, Wendy heard it, got in with 29 seconds to take over. Secret thoughts starting now.
I have secret thoughts about getting a stick and stopping a charging up...
So Peter Jones got in there. Peter, your challenge, please.
Hesitation.
Yes. Oh, Peter, do wake up, please.
I thought you realised that.
I did realise it, but you...
I mean, you keep running it all backwards in your mind. And I thought you'd pick that up in a moment.
Well, I picked it up all right, but you see, you might have picked up something else which I would have disagreed with. I have to hear what your challenge is to see if I agree with it. It's only fair on the other three. There are other three playing the game beside you, you see, Peter. So, Peter, you have secret thoughts, and the 23 seconds left starting now.
Secret thoughts should remain secret, and I think this idea of talking about them, as people often do in Sunday newspapers and others, is an abhorrent...
And Paul Merton got in.
Very slight hesitation.
Well, more than slight, but it certainly was hesitation, Paul, so you have another point on the subject, and 12 seconds secret thoughts starting now.
I know several secret things which I couldn't possibly relate to any member of the...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
He did stumble again then.
Yes, he stumbled, definitely stumbled. Yes, and 6 seconds for you, Peter, on secret thoughts, starting now.
I'm going to tell you one of the most secret thoughts and one of the most daring that you have ever heard in...
And on that cliffhanger, we call just a minute to a close, and we'll never know what this devastating thing was that Peter Jones was going to tell us. All I can now give you is the final score. Everybody contributed their usual good value, but some got more points than others. And in fourth place was Richard Murdoch, just behind Peter Jones. And then came Wendy Richard, but just 2 points ahead was the man we call the winner this week, Paul Merton. We do hope you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and will we want to be with us again when we play this delightful game. Until then, may I say, on behalf of Ian Messiter, who created the game, our producer, Edward Taylor, and all the four panellists and myself, thank you for listening, and we hope that you'll be with us again when we take to the air to play Just a Minute. Until then, goodbye. Thank you.